Finish up today. How's that? Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to take this from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. And remember, this is Paul writing to the church there in Corinth. So he's writing to Christians. So we're going to pick up with the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. Here's what it says. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Verse 4, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence or our adequacy comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, now here we go, but the Spirit gives life. So in finishing up today, I want to continue in that vein of last week of the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. Do you realize that we don't always know all the stuff that people are going through? We may not even know what all of those sitting around us this morning are dealing with in their own lives and in their own families. Because guess what? Everybody's come in looking good, smelling good for the most part, and they're smiling. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm wonderful. Wonderful, brother, pastor. And they're lying through their teeth, you know. So we don't know. We don't know what others are going to. Yet only God knows what you're going through and what happened this last week. There are pressures. There are attacks. There's just a lot of stuff. How many know we deal with on a daily basis? Amen? Or is it only me? Am I the only one that... Okay. And guess what? It can be different with all of us. Different things in each of our lives. So when life becomes a struggle and you seem to be running on fumes, there's a physical strength that we need to keep going in life. Yet there's another strength that you need that only the Holy Spirit can give you. In the Bible, there's two covenants, or we could say two testaments. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. We could say the Old is characterized by Moses. When reading the Scriptures, we find Moses got the law directly from God up on Mount Sinai. It included the way the children of Israel were to worship and the way to even kill animals for sin offerings. We saw where the Levites then would become the priestly tribe, and they were to celebrate the various feasts, including the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Passover, and even circumcise the boys at 8 days old. And eventually you could only worship in Jerusalem. And God wrote with His finger on tablets of stone the Ten Commandments, which revealed the holiness of God. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Honor your mom and dad, and so on. So that was the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. And unfortunately, you got to know the Old Covenant written in stone did not help anybody. With us, we find the problem is selfishness and sin, which came into this world due to the fall of Adam and Eve. And these things reside in each person then born into this fallen world from then until now. And the law written on stone does not affect my heart, because my problems, guess what? They are on the inside of me. Our problem, again, is selfishness and hate and lust and dishonesty, to just name a few. And they come in on the inside of us and live there until they're dealt with. You can write it on a stone and say you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. And with your conscience, guess what? You'll agree, well, that's very true. We shouldn't do that or do this. The only problem is when temptation comes, we cave and we do it. Amen? We all have. Amen. The Bible tells us all we like sheep have gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the old covenant was given, but guess what? It had no power. Yes, it showed God's holiness and His purity, but we read the Old Testament, as we read the Old Testament, we see that people kept on backsliding. It was practically every other day and twice on Sunday. They're just going after idols as you read the Old Testament. Well, why should you go after an idol if God said, don't worship an idol? Worship only me. And the answer to that is because, guess what? We are wayward people. We are wayward people. So that's the old covenant. God promised, though, knowing we could not stay faithful to the old covenant, He said, I'm going to be making a new covenant. I'm going to have another covenant dealing with my people. And that's why Jesus came into this world. And when He came, He began a new covenant, a new way of God, of God fellowshipping with His people. And this was a covenant based on a once and for all sacrifice. Jesus Christ dying on the cross as that ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Not the continual daily animal sacrifices that were required under the Old Testament or under the Old Covenant. Jesus became our kinsman redeemer, taking our debt upon Himself and paying our debt of sin that, guess what, we could never pay ourselves. This now had nothing to do with Jerusalem, because now it doesn't matter where you worship. The Father looks for those who will worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. We don't have to travel all the way to Jerusalem. Paul comes along and he says, well, circumcision doesn't mean anything spiritually anymore. You can eat any kind of food that you want, including pork chops and sausage and bacon. Amen. Pork roast, pork egg rolls. Brother Gary, we can eat charro beans with bacon. Amen. And yes, Sister Cherry, we can eat catfish. Brother Roy, we can eat catfish. Those bottom eaters, you know. Shrimp and lobster and crawfish and crabs. Amber can't wait to get to the seafood place. So, what we have to do is just pray over your food before you partake. Amen? There you go. We're not under the old covenant. And there are those that want to stay under that. If so, we say blessings to them. And this new covenant, guess what? It is not only based on Jesus and what He did, it's based on this. It's totally on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you and within me. And He is the only one who can give you and me the power to be what God wants us to be, what He intended for us to be. The power to change us is only found in and through the Holy Spirit's workings. Christianity, listen, Christianity without the Holy Spirit is not even a religion. But there are many churches nowadays which are only a faded copy, if you please, of Christianity. It's not Christianity because there's no emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and there's no experience or no relationship desired by the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot live for God. Amen. Yes, God replaced our fallen nature and that sinful tendency that's in us. Yet He went away to heaven and He sent back the Holy Spirit so we can now live out the Holy Spirit's promptings as we go about our lives. And as we do, we find we can become more like Jesus every single day. So Paul is defending then the way he ministers. And he brings up this thought, which I want you to think about for just a moment, from our text again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we're competent or adequate in ourselves to claim anything of ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Notice he's looking and saying, everything I do, I'm confident that God will use me. But all of my competence, Brandon, comes from God. That being the Holy Spirit within me. I have no ability to help anyone. My help has to come from God so that I can be a good minister. And now he says more pointedly, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Notice this, the old covenant with Moses, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. And the people nod and they say, everything God says we will do. And they're not going to do any of it. And now he says, God made me a competent minister of a new covenant. I lead people into believing in Christ so the Holy Spirit can come on them and in them and they can be everything God planned for them to be. Not do's and don'ts, but the Spirit who is life. What we need is life. Can you say amen? Amen. What the world needs is new life. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said you must be born again. We need a different kind of life in us. Going to church on Sunday doesn't mean anything if you're not born again. You have to be born again. You have to experience Jesus. The Holy Spirit has to be real in us. And you have to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The American idea of just going to church on Sunday and then gather back home with a sweet family for lunch, and if we do, then everything's fine and everything's going to work out. All our problems will go away. Guess what? That is crazy. And it's unbiblical. So as true disciples, we're born again. We're in the family of God. We have the Holy Spirit living within us now. So notice he says he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. That means that we as ministers could also be incompetent. I can either be competent or I could be incompetent. If I don't let God use me or teach me and use me and fill me, I won't be any use to anybody else if I don't know how to flow and follow the Holy Spirit of a new covenant. Not of the letter. What is the letter? The letter is what God put on the stone. Paul says, that's not what I'm a minister of. I don't tell people do this or don't do this. It's not of the letter, but it's of the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit, what? Gives life. Again, what we need is a new and a different life. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. We don't need sermons about being good, meaning God didn't intend for there to be clothesline preachers. Amen. Pointing the finger and saying, you better do this or that. Because remember, when they do that, there's three fingers pointing back to them. Amen. No, what we need is life. Amen. And not any old life. We need a new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. And again, notice this, God doesn't work with the old me. I talked about that last Sunday. The old me is messed up. You got to know that you wouldn't want to know the old me. He's self-centered. And yes, he's sinful. The old me. God never tries to just repair me or bandage me up or work again with the old me. He doesn't want me to make promises. I promise I'll improve myself. Again, like I said last Sunday, stop it and forget it. Because our self-efforts are going to be hopeless. Amen. God says, no, I'm not even going to deal with that old you. I'm going to make a new you through the Holy Spirit living in you. It's going to still be me. It's going to be my body, my mouth, my eyes. But guess what? It won't be me. It'll be Christ in me doing the work. So this Holy Spirit in us, guess what? Is our everything. The Holy Spirit should be the center of our lives. And not A on a list, A through Z. Well, here's the Holy Spirit, and then here's my family, and then here's the church, here's the job. No, the Holy Spirit should be the center. And from that center flows out everything. Amen. He'll keep us from a devil's hell. And He'll keep us on track to spend an eternity with the one who redeemed us. Christianity is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you end up with a cheap kind of moralism of let's try harder. I'm going to be better tomorrow. I'll just read more scriptures. That's what I'll do. And yes, we know that's needful in itself. Yet we need something deeper than that. We need the Holy Spirit. We need a new life in us. If the Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sin, the only thing that can help a dead person is what? Life. Life. And that's why Jesus rose from the dead. And that same power then that raised Him from the dead is living inside of you and inside of me. Amen. And yes, He wants to work in the church so that we can see signs and wonders and miracles done in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So now, here's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. In life, guess what? You can run out of gas. Physically, literally, in your car. But I'm talking about physically, in our physical bodies. And we end up, we're just too tired to go on. I'm so tired, I just can't go anymore. But in our spiritual life, in our spiritual walk, we can be attacked by the enemy of our soul. In fact, right now, today, we're all in a spiritual warfare. Every born-again Christian knows that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood with what we are dealing with. What we do deal with is demonic to discourage us. He'll try to tempt us. He'll try to obliterate, Brother Gary, our very existence. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? The thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to bring life. I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. That's not just getting by, y'all. Oh, I'm just making it day to day. No. What's abundant life? It's prosperity. In every area of our lives, we can prosper. So, yes, we are in a spiritual warfare. When you get tired physically, you take a rest. I, for one, look forward to Sunday afternoons in my easy chair. Amen. Especially after I get full of Mexican food. Or catfish. You get some sleep, you eat healthy so that you can get rejuvenated and you can get back up and go again. Amen. But the Bible tells us that we're made up of really three persons. That's our spirit, our soul, and our body. There's the physical me, which is our senses, our natural senses. Feel and touch and taste and see and hear. And then there's the soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then there is our inner person, our spirit, which is our inner being. So did you know the real you or me is not this outward physical being that we all see each and every day? When you and I die and they put us in a box, we're not going to cease being. You'll always be. Your spirit is headed toward God to either be with Him for an eternity or it's away with God. But you're not going to cease. It's in heaven with Jesus or it's going to be in a hell with the devil and his angels for all eternity. One or the other. The flesh will perish, but the inner man goes on. But in our culture and in our world, most folks, guess what? They pay attention almost exclusively to the outer person. Well, how do I look? Is my coiffure in place? You know, what little I have up there, you know. I spray it real good on Sundays. Michelle, when she was small, loved to come to my house, get up in the recliner, sit on my shoulders, and just take her hands and just mess my hair up good. And I loved it, of course, you know. Well, let me start lifting more weights. There's CrossFit. Here I come. Now it's going gluten-free. Or I'm going to go vegan. Going to go vegan. Vegan? What's vegan? All right. Well, vegan then. I'm not going to go vegan, but anyway. I'm going to build myself up, a little Botox here and there. And whatever your thing is, blessings on you and go ahead and do it. Whatever you think you need. Just don't come in with real fat lips, you know. But how about the inner person? What happens when it runs down? Well, you don't see it, but guess what? You feel it. And no vitamins won't help it. And Paul in our text is talking about his ministry. And as we read through the book of Acts and other letters that Paul wrote, we find where he was, where in his life of ministry, we find that he was beaten, he was put in jail, he was stoned, he was cast into an open sea, he was persecuted by the Romans, he was hated by the religious folks who tried to kill him, just like Jesus. He had to run from one place or the other. One time to save his life, they had to put him in a basket and put him over the edge of the wall of the city to get away. And he went through all of that, and never once do we hear him saying, well, I'm just burnt out. I got to stop. It's too much. I've got to stop. And sadly, that seems to be a popular phrase through the Christian world, especially with pastors. A lot of pastors are resigning. So here's the secret so one won't get burned out. You see, the spiritual warfare we're in, there's only one answer to it. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul says here in this next portion of Scripture, which really is astounding. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Look at it with me. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That word is better translated for us, we don't quit. We don't quit. Let me ask, how many have made up their minds today through Jesus Christ that you're not going to quit your spiritual race?
Amen.
Amen. Two or three of us, amen. No matter what comes at us, no matter what discouragements, we're not quitting.
Come on. Come on.
Now, I can't speak for you, but I've come so far in my journey, it's too late to turn back now. Amen. I've come too far. Paul is not going to quit. Why is that? Well, why wouldn't he quit? Just give it up. After all he's been through, Paul, you could take retirement and just rest, the rest of your life. Understand, outwardly in our fleshly bodies, we're wasting away. I'm getting older. I'm getting older. We're getting tired. For Paul, taking a beating was not fun. You got to know that. Getting thrown in jail continually, cast in the open sea, sometimes without any proper food. He went through all of those things. And he goes on to say in this fourth chapter in verse 16, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. There it is. There it is. That's our most important phrase for today.
Good.
Yet inwardly, our human spirit, that inner person, is being renewed. That means made brand new. Not helped, not a Band-Aid, but totally recharged, like you charge a battery day by day. So let's see the emphasis here. Number one, inwardly, he knew the secret was that the inner person had to be made new. Again, the word doesn't mean to give a little helping hand. Come on, let me just... No, it had to be renewed. He was saying Almighty God, through the Holy Spirit, can make you stronger than you've ever been in your inner person.
Amen.
Because that's where the enemy attacks. Not only does he attack the physical part, our outward being, he comes after our soul and attacks our mind. That's where the battleground is. He attacks our emotions and our will. The enemy is not interested in what's in your wallet. You don't have to worry about that. He wants you and me personally. He hates God, but he cannot get to God. So what does he do? He does the next best thing to come after God's children. We're part of the family of God. And to resist him, guess what? We will have to have strength. And Paul says, I am inwardly renewed. And notice it, day by day. The only strength that he depended on was the one he got for that day. You can't talk to God on Sunday morning and then that's going to keep you strong till Sunday comes again. What are you going to do if you miss a Sunday? Oh my gosh! It doesn't work that way. Would you look at somebody and say, it don't work that way? You could have the most glorious meeting here today on this Sunday morning and have the most wonderful experience with the Holy Spirit. Yet come Monday when you get up, guess what? You need to meet God again and be renewed in your inner being again. Here's the emphasis. It's day by day. Can you say that with me? Day by day. One day at a time is the way we live. I can't do a thing about yesterday. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But guess what? I know I can do today.
Amen.
Keep my eyes on the Lord.
Preach.
So inwardly, he's renewed one day at a time. What happens then when Satan comes on Monday with a blow to discourage us? Or then he comes on Tuesday with a heartache. Someone turns on you. Understand, the hard part of spiritual warfare is the constant pressure that the enemy can put on us. You're in a situation with an unbelieving spouse, or there's a wayward older child who's getting obnoxious and is threatening the peace in your home. Or there might be a job situation and it's become absolutely oppressive, and you have been doing your best to stand firm, but Satan doesn't stop. Did you know that? And he puts more pressure. And you're bracing yourself the best you know how. You're tense. Your muscles are stretched to the limit. And you may can hold that posture for a while. But what if this doesn't let up for 24 hours or longer? Do you know how tired then you can become? And the pressure becomes intense. Why? Because the enemy is pushing with all of these issues, and we are pushing back. But how long can that last? And that's how it is in spiritual warfare. The pressure can sometimes be constant, and you're getting tired inside, and you don't even know why you are tired on the inside. It's because you have been constantly fighting off those fiery darts of discouragement, those fiery darts of distractions. Oh. So Paul says, outwardly, you know, I'm getting older. I'm getting tired. I know my body can fail. But inwardly, it's like I'm ready to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Amen. Amen. I'm ready to rumble on the inside because I'm renewed. God gives me new strength every single day. Woo! And that's all He'll give you. I don't care what happens today. When you wake up tomorrow, you better be renewed again by the Holy Spirit, because you may face something new again tomorrow. Yeah. Your church family, guess what? They can't be around you 24/7 to encourage you. Yeah. But it's staying in God's Word. Amen. It's spending time in worship and communion with the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And asking for the Holy Spirit to fill you again today. Guess what? We ought to be sipping on our joy jug every day. The Bible says a merry heart does the what? The heart good. It does good. Like medicine. Amen. Amen. Chug a lug. Praise God. Understand, He's ready and He's waiting to renew our inner man every single day. You'll be brand new come Monday. You'll be stronger than you've ever been on Tuesday. Even though you've been serving the Lord for a while, you're being renewed how? Day by day. The idea then that someone gets saved in their 20s and now they're in their 60s or their 70s and they're like a shell of themselves, listen, that is totally unbiblical. Oh, no, but Pastor, when I was younger, I was on fire and all of that. I'm just more settled down now, Pastor. No. Why aren't you on fire today? Do you think God doesn't have any fire to share anymore? He gave it to you at 20 and He can't give it to you now that you're 60 or 70? No, the truth is you've just stopped getting renewed every day. You fell away from fellowship with the Lord. And yes, it can happen to pastors. It can happen to ministers and church leaders and saints alike. It can happen to anyone. Every day, listen, He wants to renew us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a sensational thing, but it means more than anything about being strong enough to resist the devil. And guess what? The Bible tells us when you resist him, what's he going to do? He's going to flee. He's going to go away. And we cannot resist if we're not strong in our inner person. Is this helping anybody this morning? So that's what only the Holy Spirit can do. It's all there. You could be in great shape. You could be gluten-free. Vegan. Vitamin B12. And vitamin C and vitamin D. You could be taking the right amount of vegetables and fruit every day in that capsule they advertise. Going to aerobic classes. Doing everything that'll help your outside physically. But this won't even touch the inner man. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You got to know this. I'm going to be judged on whether I pointed you to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. God's going to judge me one day. Well, did you tell the people a lot of hot air, or did you tell them the truth? So then there's more than the Holy Spirit just keeping us strong so we won't quit. Listen now. He also does this. He makes us beautiful. He makes us beautiful. Just like there's an outward strength and inward strength, there's an outward beauty and there is an inward beauty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Paul writes these words. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Somebody preached that already this morning. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect as in a mirror the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit.
Yeah, that's good.
So the Holy Spirit makes Jesus so real to us that we get the beauty of Christ and down in our own spirit.
Amen.
Do you get that? Just like there's an outward beauty, there can be an inward beauty. Have you ever met someone who maybe as a man could be described as handsome on the outside, or as a woman, beautiful on the outside, but they're downright ugly on the inside? And by that, I mean it shows with their character, and you see the ugliness with their attitude, and you see it with their speech. Have you ever met anybody like that? Whew. And sadly, you don't even want to be around them very long.
Right.
Well, what's ugly about them? It's that inner spirit. It's their poison. They're toxic inside. And guess what? Bitterness does that to you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
If you don't deal with bitterness and anger and hate, it'll kill you. One might do everything to make themselves attractive on the outside, but there's the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that will work on the inside. Just think about some of us. If we act ugly in public or at a restaurant and our spirit isn't attractive, and then people meet us and they go, "Oh, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be a Christian." How sad a testimony is that? Act right when you go to a restaurant. Amen. You can politely tell them if your food is not right. But you don't be ugly. And sure don't tell them you're from New Life. Amen. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 that we as Christians through the Spirit are what? A sweet savor of Christ unto God, a pleasing aroma in them that are saved. We can have the fragrance in our spirit. We can be around people and it will leave a sweet aroma. Haven't you ever been around anyone in your life who was so kind and so sweet that you didn't even want to part from being with them? You missed them when they left. And when other people, you're like, and then other people, you're like, what? When can this thing end? I got to get out of here quickly. Why is that? Because it's down in us. And we're putting all the emphasis on the outside. And Paul says, no, you really can be like Christ on the inside. You can be beautiful. And guess what? We're not into that language, but it is true. How many want to be attractive in Christ on the inside? Oh, amen. 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 Listen now, the Holy Spirit will do just that. Yeah. He'll give you the words to speak when you're talking to someone. Come on. Amen. Give me 45 more minutes. Not really. He'll give you the words to speak when you're talking to someone. We should all want to be beautiful on the inside. Amen? Amen. We all can be ugly on the inside. And oh, when you're ugly and you're acting out, guess what? It's not a pleasant thing. And as parents, if we're that way, did you know that has an effect on our children? Yes, it does. Because the parents, no matter if they provide the clothes and the food, if they have that ugliness down in them, guess what? It's not a good thing. And children pick up on that. Lastly, Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's not only strength daily to get renewed, but he says you can become more like Jesus through the Spirit by beholding or looking, or we could even say gazing as in a mirror at Christ. What you gaze at, you become. If you stare at pornography all day long, guess what? You're going to be a mess. If you just look at money and think about it all day because you're greedy, you're going to take on a different look about you. But if you gaze at Jesus all day, if you gaze at Jesus all day, can't we not praise Him on a daily basis throughout our day, in the house, in the yard, on the way to work, walking in the door at your workplace? Can't we praise Him between appointments? Can we praise Him in the shower? Can't we just think about Him? So you become like Him. Attractive on the inside. But He said this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Come on. Y'all preached to my message. I was on the inside. Hush up, hush up. I'll get to that. No, I'm glad you did. I'm just reinforcing it, Brother Tony. Here's what I want to leave with you today. There's not only strength to keep going and endure, you never quit.
That's it.
You never quit. When people quit and burn out, guess what? That's not God's problem.
Amen.
It's their problem.
Yeah.
When people act ugly and have an unattractive inner person, that's not God's problem, that's your problem.
Amen.
It's their problem. But lastly, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
There is liberty. Look, when you get older physically, you lose your range of motion. You can't get around like you used to. And a lot of things happen. Your bones get weak or they might get brittle. But spiritually, you got to know there is no kind of arthritis for the inner man. You can always remain free. You can look clearly and move around and be who God wants you to be, not bound by guilt and not bound by condemnation. Listen, Satan brings up stuff that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and we have a habit of chewing on him, chewing on that. But when you're strong through the Holy Spirit, here's what it is. It's Satan, you better get out of here. Jesus has washed that away. I'm free from condemnation. I'm free from guilt. I don't have to live that way. But there's more. Free from all the negative complexes. Well, no one likes me. No one cares. They don't ever text me. They don't answer my texts. No one loves me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I said, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't go there. But if you're not strong in the Spirit, you're going to believe it. And you'll see rejection everywhere you go. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Jesus, through the Spirit, sets people free. Listen, it's more than healing and casting out demons. How about getting free from your own fears and the I can'ts and the I'll never and being afraid of your own shadow? No, whom the Son set free is free indeed. The power of the Holy Spirit makes you bold as a lion. Amen. You're not bound by your culture or how your mom and dad raised you. Yes, it could have been bad, but you don't have to stay that in that mess. I don't have to be bound by that. I can have a culture where I can identify and love everybody from every other culture. We're to love our brothers and sisters. Amen? In whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You can move. You can do. You can go. Oh, Pastor, I can't go on that missions trip. I can't go here or there. I could catch COVID. Stop that nonsense. No, you can be free of that fear. Don't open the door to that. Never again. He will put a shield about you and you can be totally free in your life. Sadly, many people are living the Christian life crippled in their spirit, man. But I'm here this Sunday morning to yell it to the top of the house. The Holy Spirit wants to set all of us free every day of our lives. Amen. Free to be who God wants us to be. Free of passivity. Free of hate. Free of unforgiveness. Free of apathy, free of indifference, free of just wanting to give up. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can break all of those things in our lives. You're down and depressed because you're living off of the hurt that's in you of what people did to you way back then, sometime. So now they've done a double whammy on you. They not only hurt you back then, they're now affecting you even now. Oh, but I got to tell you again, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. We don't have to go another day living with past hurts. Did you hear what I said? We do not have to go another day living with past hurts. And I certainly understand we all can struggle with those very things. But once again, when the Holy Spirit comes and does His work in you, you're free of all of those things. Come on, can we say you're free? You're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Brother Galen, come on down, brother. We're glad you're back today. And your sweet wife and all the kiddos. And happy birthday to those boys. Listen, in the past, I've gotten so upset because we happen to have this person in our local post office who portrays the very essence of rudeness and ugliness. He definitely needs Jesus. Amen. And I smile, but I have to confess, it hurts to be nice. And I'm the pastor. My flesh wants to show itself. So I can carry that every day and let it keep me agitated. Or watch this. I can let it go. I can pray for him, hold my peace, and do my business with the other person in the other window. Amen? I can, by choice, walk in freedom because the Lord gives me victory over every people, even people who act ugly. I'm free now, Brother Tony, but it only comes by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can have victory. We're not the victim. We are the victor, and we can walk in victory on a daily basis. You can't get free on your own strength. It's almost impossible. But Jesus can do you like no other. Amen. So if you're watching here this morning, online, or you're here even in the sanctuary, and you're being attacked in your mind, then guess what? I've got good news. Today is your day. Life's pressure is getting to you, and your inner man now needs 20 cc's of the Holy Spirit. If you feel like stuff is holding you back, then can I remind you where the Spirit of the Lord is? There's liberty and there's freedom. You don't have to go another day attacked and your nerves staying in knots. You don't have to get up in fear. You don't have to go to bed in fear. Here's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So here's what our prayer needs to be. Fill me with your Spirit every day. Not a trickle, but an overflow of living water. Listen, we got to let it bubble up. It's inside, but we got to bubble up on out where it'll flow out to others that come in a part of our lives. And listen, He'll give you strength each and every day. He'll teach us to be renewed one day at a time. Not just for today, but when I wake up in the morning, guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to be there to renew me, to strengthen me, and heal any scars I may have. And yes, the Lord will make us beautiful on the inside so that people want to be around us and not avoid us.